The next CMO podcast explores topics that are on the minds of forward-thinking marketing executives, from leadership and strategy to emerging technologies. And we bring these topics to life by interviewing leading experts in their fields. The next CMO is sponsored by Plana, makers of the world's first AI-based marketing leadership platform, and hosted by me, Peter Mahoney, the founder and CEO of Plana, along with my co-host, Kelsey Kraft. In this episode of The Next CMO, Kelsey and I speak to Rikin Diwan, the SVP of Marketing at Thimble, an innovative provider of insurance products for small businesses all around the globe. I hope you enjoy the show.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Rikin. We're super excited to have you on The Next CMO podcast. I would love to learn a little bit more about you and what you do at Thimble.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. My name is Rikin Diwan. I am SVP of Marketing here at Thimble. Thimble is a small business insurance company that we sell directly to a small business owner. I like to joke that we are lowercase B2B because these are solo entrepreneurs, independent workers. They are the decision makers, and they're buying it all online and in our app. So Thimble.com or the Thimble app. And so it's very e-commerce focused in the sense of a marketing strategy. We could be selling socks. We could be selling mattresses and the next big D2C thing. We take the same kind of channel approach, but we take it to insurance. And we also have a very interesting product here as well, where we're the only company that can sell insurance for businesses for less than a year. And that makes us very appealing to kind of a new business owner, someone just getting started, or someone who doesn't want to carry that overhead cost. So doing good work out there, helping a lot of businesses grow.
It's amazing. And in fact, Rikin, one of the things when I went to your site that jumped out to me was the one area that actually was your origin story. I immediately went looking at your What We Cover section, and it says drone insurance. And I said, how cool is that? There's drone insurance. And yeah, it turns out that there's a story behind that, right?
Yeah, well, that was the seed. I mean, that was the seed funding stage of the company too. We started as a company called Verifly in 2016. Our two founders, Jay Bregman, Eugene Hertz. Jay has founded a number of companies, maybe most notably a company called Halo, which was like an early rideshare competitor. Eugene was a very early employee on the information tech side at Quidsy, which owned like soap.com, diapers.com, Wag. They sold that to Amazon as well. And so both had a very big tech background. And so Drone was like that techie thing. They had met each other along their journey and they were kind of looking for the new thing. Drone was it. And then they almost stumbled into insurance, realizing, you know, we're not here to be a hardware company, but there's a lot of hobbyists out there and what do they need? And so these drone pilots were actually saying, hey, I'm getting an opportunity to do like a wedding photography or event photography. I'm getting real estate surveying. My best friend's calling me up. But every time I want to do this, the property owner or manager says, I need to see your certificate of insurance. I need to see your liability coverage. And these guys would call up an agent. A, they would find it really hard to find a quote. B, once they got a quote, it's super expensive. It's like a year-long contract for this type of work. And so what they said is, well, forget the agents. Can we do this all in an app? Like everyone's techie here. They're using an app for their drone. Let's just put it in an app. Streamline the questions, streamline the experience, kind of bring product thinking to it. And then B, can we find an approach that is not an annual contract with a high overhead cost? And so, you know, a lot of regulatory battles and finding the right partners, but eventually came up with a product, which was Verifly, which was an hourly or by the hour insurance for these drone operators and hobbyists. And so that became the seed of the idea for what is now Thimble, which was we could take the same approach in an app, e-commerce driven purchasing experience, and a highly disruptive format of insurance by the hour, day, month, et cetera, and take it to hundreds of different professionals. And so, you know, I met them, this was all 2016. I met them in about 2019, and we were rebranding the company, but more importantly, taking this model and making it for handyman, for plumbers, landscapers, photographers, DJs, et cetera. And so now we cover hundreds of different professions with both an on-demand product as well as a monthly subscription product, which we introduced and is actually the most popular thing we do today. But it's a great approach. It's extremely unique in the space, but all from that original seed of an idea with with drones.
It's fascinating to see how an idea forms at this beginning and then starts to branch out. And it's a great example of how experienced entrepreneurs like your founders can start with something that's compelling, but then they can see sort of the opportunities in front of them, which is exciting. And I want to dig into Thimble a lot more, but I'd love to spend a minute on your background, because you've got an amazing background, Rickon. And so just tell the audience a little bit more about what you were doing pre-Thimble, because you've had some cool stops on the way.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, no better place to start than the beginning. I think I've always wanted to be creative. Like, I was obsessed with drawing when I was a kid and then playing guitar. But then I think the practical side of me felt, how do I apply this? And probably most likely in a business setting. And marketing just always felt like the creative application of business, right? And so I studied marketing in college, did many internships at Comedy Central, at the Special Olympics, at Apple was probably the main one that got me in the door and jobs for a few years to come. But I always knew I wanted to do marketing. And, you know, what I realized early is that marketing means a lot, right? And it's very multidisciplinary, and I need to figure out, where do I fit? What kind of marketing do I want to do? So I think, like, you know, now looking back on it, the first part of my career as it is, but was kind of just figuring it out and disrupting myself along the way. I worked at New York Post. I did digital marketing there, web analytics, you know, remnant network advertising and monetization. And I really loved the digital side. I was like, I'm obsessed with the digital side. And actually very early on, I said, hey, we should have a Twitter account. Like, this was very early. Maybe I'm revealing, you know, when my career began, but I went to the VP of the company. I said, we really should have like twitter.com/NYPost. And she's like, go ahead and make it. And it became the thing where all the editors loved it. Luckily, it was available back then. It was easier to get, but we had never started it. And then we started NY Post Yankees and NY Post Mets. And we came up with social guidelines and how you're going to, you know, what are your rules for operating for all the editors? And I was like, oh, this social thing is really interesting. I don't know if I want to say in the news industry. So, you know, the opportunity to go agency side came up, and I went in-house to an agency called Edelman Digital, which was Edelman's a big PR company, but the digital practice was growing and really owning kind of the social voice of a customer as like an extension of comms. And so this was great for me because, again, like I thought I would go into agency and I would love a company, love an industry, and go in-house. Like, that's what I figured would happen at an agency, that I would work for some amazing brand like Red Bull, right? Or Coca-Cola or Nike or something like that. And then I would go in-house. And I then realized I just kind of enjoy hopping around, like learning their business model, their economic model. And so I did that for quite a while. Some of my biggest accounts was like Dove Men when Unilever was expanding the Dove line to men. And then Samsung Mobile was a big account. I then went to a smaller agency and we still had big accounts like Target and Rolex, but it was much more startup-y feel. And it was even more digital. It was less social, but now we're building apps and websites. And I was like, ooh, this product itch and like the intersection of marketing and product, I'm really enjoying. And so luckily I was then able to find my way into Foursquare, which was building like advertising and media products. I think it's really hard to find that opportunity to jump from agency to in-house. I knew I always wanted tech, and luckily New York finally had a tech scene. When I started, there weren't startup scenes, and Google and Facebook didn't have these massive offices here in New York City. But when Foursquare came, it was a nice bridge because they were building ad tech type programmatic products. And so the agency experience translated really well. So I went to Foursquare, stayed there for a little over 3 years and basically helped with creative brand strategy around these like enterprise products. I think today you would more call it product marketing, right? But, you know, naming these new products, everything from what's our ad offering to our API and SDK, and just, you know, really working on that. All this time, I think I did a lot of different types of marketing and a lot of different types of clients. Even at Foursquare, we were talking to many different clients and ultimately selling the product to a client. And I really wanted to go, okay, I've learned enough. Like, where can I now have a higher impact on a singular product, compound the success, right? Compound every effort building upon the last one. And so I went to a company called Social Bicycle. Ryan, the founder, and I had met a few years before and had been chatting. Ryan calls me up and he's like, we're a bike share company. I think their most popular system, for example, is in Portland. So if you've been to Portland, you've seen the bright orange Nike orange bikes as part of Bikey Town. And so similar to how like City Bike or Ford Go Bike in New York City and SF work, Social Bicycles was powering all that. They were making the bikes, they were making the app. But he calls me up. He's like, one, I got this electric bike, this e-bike, and you got to ride it. It's amazing and it's going to change bike share. Two, we're going to stop the sponsorship model. We're going to build a customer-facing brand. And every city you go to that we're at, it's going to be the same experience, the same app, rather than a sponsored experience and kind of a bifurcated thing. And so we want to be profitable in and of ourselves, you know, without needing sponsorship kind of subsidies. And I love that idea of like, okay, like one, you need to rebrand. Like Social Bicycles was a really behind the scenes kind of operator. And two, like the model's changing. And so I joined the company. We quickly rebranded to Jump and, you know, bright red bicycles, electric bikes with big block letter white Jump on it. We just wanted to be bold all throughout. It was the personality of the bike. It was the personality of the founding team. And we launched in pilots in San Francisco and DC. And we did a BD deal with Uber where they wanted to test out what would happen if you showed bicycles on a map as well as cars. Would there be an interest from the riders there? And ultimately there was, and it went really well. And we ended up, you know, being acquired by Uber just 5-6 months after I joined. And then we scaled like crazy. And we went to 35 cities across the world. My team grew to 40 people. We launched scooters and kind of became part of this big bicycle and scooter movement that happened. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. Eventually, you know, we took a different route with how marketing is going to be structured at Uber and how Jump is going to be at Uber. So Jump is now kind of part of another company called Lime, and the whole team kind of like disbanded, but it was a great ride. I mean, to go from Series A funded startup, the only marketing person, to being acquired, going through Uber and its IPO, scaling to that many cities and growing that team in about 2 years, you know, it was a real pressure cooker environment. You learn a lot. So I was looking for the next opportunity kind of, but at the same time, these like two founders call me, Jay and Eugene, and they show me the board deck and tell me all about this insurance product and the market of SMBs. And I got super excited by that.
And so you got excited about insurance. They must be good if they could get you excited about that, right?
It's a really, so as a marketer, you're probably not graduating college and being like, I want to go for work for an insurance company, right? Like it's not what charges you. Although oddly enough, insurance really does have a great story within marketing. And, you know, if you study marketing, there's the case studies of Affleck creating that ad just so you remember the name. Like that was when you're selling a commodity type product, how do you do that? And so now actually, like when you look at insurance, they spend a ton on brand advertising between Geico and Progressive and even Affleck, et cetera. So there's definitely a lot of marketing in the DNA of insurance, but I don't think you think it's the sexiest industry. And interestingly enough, I think for me, when I look at my own career, I'm not a career CPG guy, right? Like I'm not a career tech person. I spent many years agency side and now I've kind of applied myself. But I think what I love is finding an industry that needs disruption. And that is the thread. Like bike share needed disruption and needed to fight cars, right? And grow. And I love that. And this e-bike was the product that could do it. And when I met Jay and Eugene and their background, obviously being tech, and we jived, there is this product that's going to disrupt insurance. And the end customer being SMBs, well, you got to love small business owners. Like everyone wants to help like the local restaurant or a handyman become big and independent, whatever success meant for them. And so for me as a marketer, that was fun. And we'll see, you know, but there's many other industries. Real estate needs disruption. Education needs disruption right now. So I think you can find that and you can maybe make a career out of just that. And that's probably where I am right now.
I think you bring up such an excellent point that innovation comes from disruption, right? So you take whatever industry and that innovation that's created, that disruption, you know, that brings new ideas to the table. And it really just revamps and changes the whole industry in itself. So I guess to ask you and what Thimble is currently doing, what are you guys doing from a product innovation standpoint? I would love for our listeners to learn about how you've created that disruption within the insurance non-sexy space.
Yeah, well, it's highly regulated. I mean, we could sell the same product, like in insurance, we call it product, right? But like we could sell the same type of insurance to a handyman and it will be a different price in New Jersey versus Texas. So like, it's not a singular pricing model. We have multiple plans. I mean, I joke around, we probably have thousands of SKUs when you think about all the different ways you can buy it. One of our values at Thimble, and one of the biggest projects was writing our values down, right? When I started and when we were scaling is think wild, act tame. And so, you know, Jay has put this really well, is you got to know the rules so that you can kind of bend them and break them. And that's how we got a product down to an hour on the market. And that's how we've gotten a product that isn't annual, it's monthly. And so the analogy for that is this is like cutting the cord. Like you're not stuck in an annual 2-year contract or whatever it might be. You just go month to month and you can cancel whenever. And so the innovation really lies at that regulatory way. And we've hired some really smart people. Terry Hitchcock is our CIO, Chief Insurance Officer. She has decades of insurance experience. And when I met her, she was just so enthusiastic about disrupting insurance, like someone who's been in it for 40 years, knows all the gaps and the opportunities. And so, you know, we do it at the product level first and foremost. When COVID happened, obviously, and we all went into quarantine, we actually realized the monthly product, the way we do it, actually would allow us to turn on a feature called pause. And we launched a feature called pause. And it basically means, do you need to take a break? Like, is your business hampered and suffering? Do you want to pause your account? And the reason why that pause your policy, the reason that's important is in the insurance world, one of the first things I'll ask you is, have you ever had a policy before? And did you cancel it? Because that could change your whole rate. Like they'll underwrite you differently. And so by launching pause, we literally don't do that. We just turn the same policy, your locked in price that you purchased at, back on. So it needs to start with product, and then marketing can have a lot of fun and the distribution can have a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, we do it. We're the only app in the app store that can sell business insurance. So while auto insurance and homeowners insurance have found their way to apps, business insurance, Thimble is the only app available. It's a great uncontested channel for us. Hopefully one of our competitors aren't listening, but we're definitely on their radar anyway. And then we do it all through a website. We aren't as handholdy. Like we do have a phone number and people can talk to a licensed insurance agent, especially when they're making those big decisions. But if they want to, they can do this all instantly. It's much easier than finding your local insurance agent, hoping they have the product you want. And so for us, that kind of disruption happens in the distribution and how we get in front of them.
Well, I love the way that you jumped on the opportunity to take something really messy and complicated and turn it into something that's simple and buyable by the consumer. It reminds me a lot of, I don't know if you know the company. So Main Street is a company. They're in one of the, we share an investor, Google's Gradient Ventures. And they've got a product that basically allows you to, they will pay you all the government incentives back for things like R&D tax credit. And there's a giant list of these really complicated things. And it's one of these things where it's basically, you need to do this. It's basically free money if you're doing it, but it is really complicated and it gets a lot more complicated when you're in an environment where everyone's working in different states and the rules all change. And so I'd imagine that like them, your business probably has done really well in a way because of what's going on with the entire economy, current and post-pandemic. I'm hopeful that eventually we'll be post-pandemic. In that obviously new businesses are getting started all the time and people are doing things differently and have to operate in all these different places and remotely. Has that driven real growth for you guys, during the pandemic?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, first on the Main Street thing, I feel like I've seen them advertise on Twitter that you should be making these claims if you aren't already. And I think, look, the internet's made for fixing the messy piping that exists behind a lot of the finance and other industries. And I think we're cutting out middlemen and making things seamless. So I think we have that in our DNA. And then as it applies to COVID, I mean, you know, when March happened and when COVID hit our shores, right, in March of 2019, we turned the lights down low on performance and growth. We just didn't know what the impact was going to be. We wanted to see how it was, and we're a startup, so we don't want to burn cash flow in uncertain kind of times. But it was very interesting. And I think there were two things driving that led to growth, to your point. One was just things are changing. So like the event industry, you're pitch black, you're total silent. There's no events happening. And a lot of our professions like photographer, event planners, et cetera, obviously make their living. But then you have this housing boom, right? Which I don't know if anyone really expected, but handyman, contractors, you're all, you know, very critical of the home that you're in because you're in it 24 hours, is booming. And that side of the business really grew. So we had to shift, but it definitely did drive top line growth. The other thing that you talked about, new business forming all the time, I don't know if, you know, you're alluding to this, but around July, you know, March happened, everything going quiet. And then around June, July, a few of us, we were just having a conversation. We're like, man, like unemployment rate, high, high, high. I'm like, well, what is the net outcome of a high unemployment rate? Like, what are all these people doing, right? And interestingly enough, the US government publishes a census stat of the number of businesses formed every week. I mean, you literally go find this on census.gov. And the numbers of new business formations, which is like that EIN, you know, the employer number, was through the roof. I mean, you're talking 70% same month year over year growth. You know, you can even break that down by their code that they're filing under. And you could say, oh, what kind of type of work are they doing? And we're like, this is in our wheelhouse. And so, you know, we, and then our product makes the most sense for them because someone just getting started doesn't want the overhead costs, especially during those times. And so we really leaned in on that. And we even went internally and started doing research within our own customer base, asking questions that we hadn't thought to ask before. 75% of our customers have never had business insurance before. They were buying it from us and we were their first insurance company ever. That's amazing. And that's great. We have to tailor our experience, our messaging for that. 40% of our customers had founded their business within the last 12 months, wow, which is just amazing. And I think that number is, you know, maybe not 12 months anymore, but even this year, the year over year growth has gone up 2021 over 2020. And so COVID has really changed things. And I know there's a lot of narrative about the great resignation right now. So I think, you know, people are compelled and realizing they could be a freelance contractor, whatever they want to be, from wherever they want to be. And we're really leaning into that in many different ways, targeting, messaging, you know, a number of different ways from a marketing product perspective.
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of people think, wow, the world has changed and it's easier to start a business. And I hear people in our circles who build software companies saying, oh, there's AWS and Google Cloud and all these places, so I can spin up a business without servers. But what Thimble is providing is another example of maybe a non-straight tech business, although you can service tech businesses too, I'm sure. The other kind of infrastructure things you need are getting easier and easier and easier. And as you reduce the friction required to create new businesses, I hope you're going to just see more and more businesses starting. And yeah, and maybe more will fail, but that's okay, because I think you'll see some really innovative new things happening and people branching out and trying things if you make it really easy to solve some of the messy problems related to starting a new business, which is fun. So let's talk a little bit about your marketing. So you have some really interesting challenges in marketing a service to a wildly diverse set of audiences. But I suspect there's a lot of segmentation that you can do. You've got this very specific set of products mapped to certain professions. So how do you think about maybe starting with your overall marketing strategy? What's the marketing strategy for Thimble to try to drive growth for the business?
Yeah. No, I think at the core of it is relevance and education, right? So you know, insurance with the type that we sell is very high intent. I mean, on another side of the spectrum within insurance is like life insurance. Like, it's kind of a peace of mind type of insurance. There's some urgency if you've just had a kid, you're like really thinking about it, or you just got married, like a life event. But there's no like deadline looming over your head over when you need to buy this. When you go, and what we find the buying purchasing behavior is you've got a job opportunity. You've been told you need to show proof of insurance, what's called a certificate of insurance, you know, immediately to get that job. So for example, like we've all probably been there. If you've ever had to move in a building, those movers are often asking, do I need to have a certificate of insurance? Does your building require me to present one, right? Or if you've ever held an event or a wedding or something, all your vendors have to show that venue, you know, their proof of insurance. So it's very high intent, right? Meaning search is very core to the experience. But you can't just go tap like a very straightforward way of search. You're talking about somebody at different stages and knowledge levels of insurance. And so some might go just search, I need business insurance. Like someone just told me I need business insurance. There's no such thing as business insurance. There's lots of different products that are for businesses, but there is no product, right? Like that is, and so example, general liability insurance is the main one. Professional liability. For startups, cyber insurance is becoming something very big, right? And as we manage data, there's equipment insurance. There's a technical name for that called inland marine. Like I knew none of this coming into Thimble, by the way, but you kind of learn the nuance. I was probably the one searching business insurance. Someone maybe a different level of sophistication might say, oh no, I'm a handyman. So I need handyman insurance, or I'm a pressure washer. I need pressure washing insurance. And then someone else, though, maybe they shopped around before or have had insurance, they will literally come and say, I need general liability insurance, or I need a very specific. They're all roads will lead to the same product. But as a marketer, we actually have to build the targeting, the landing page experience, the entire funnel for each of those kind of intents and behavior. And then also, obviously, what other products do we offer? You know, how is it bundled together? Things like that. And then for every profession type. So that's kind of the matrix that you're talking about in terms of segmentation that we go after. And it's very digital. But as we grow, obviously, our concentric circles are going to grow and we're going to go much higher up funnel, you know, and reach someone in moments where they're not thinking about insurance. And we've done that through, and it's a lot of content marketing, right? And so we just kind of think about what's the new business owner mindset. What else is a new business owner searching for? Because they're only going to make that insurance decision once a year, but they have many small business decisions to make throughout the year, especially year one. And so we've built a robust like SEO and even our newsletter strategy. When I came in, we were sending a newsletter about insurance. And I was like, no one wants to read about insurance every 2 weeks or so. They've already bought the thing. Like they want to get a job. So our content strategy there is we've launched a newsletter called Greenlight. We've been inspired by many other companies, you know, taking the content approach, but Greenlight is all about small business needs and not about small business insurance. And so, you know, the goal there is, can someone subscribe to Greenlight and not even know that it comes from Thimble and that Thimble is an insurance company? Like our strategy will bring them down that pipe later on, but it's a really fun way to kind of wrap your arms around the SMB audience.
Oh, that's great. It's very similar. We, as you know, wrote this book, The Next CMO, and we made a podcast and all this stuff, right? And the idea, and it's funny, the book does not mention Plana, the company that we work for.
Plug in now.
exactly. But it makes a lot of sense. It's really fascinating to hear your marketing journey now very specifically applied to Thimble, Rickon, is that you've got this, we've got this context for sort of how you became you in your career with this digital and social background. So clearly you're leaning into that, but you also have some sort of brand and positioning and all these things that you've sort of now started to mold together into defining how we drive growth for this thing. And it's interesting seeing you think about how you go beyond the pure intent digital world and start to look into the strategic growth and how do I grow this thing over a long period of time. And so you talked about content marketing. 5 years from now, what does the Thimble marketing look like? Do you have any sense?
I've never been asked this question. Well, there's something else that I think we're doing that I oversee that I'm very passionate about, which is where else and who else are facilitating small businesses in the transactional level, right? And so, for example, Angie's is a customer of ours in the sense that they're our partner of ours, and they take our API, and when a handyman is matched with a job, we are right there to facilitate and show, you know, the coverage options that they have. And for us, priced perfectly for just that job, right? No one else can do that part, but we can find that moment. And when you look across the ecosystem, maybe another plug, I'm hiring for a director of partnerships. Come join me and help me build this vision out right now. But as a BD role, InsurTech, right, can be like FinTech with a distributed model, but you have to start thinking about who are the other marketplace players, who are providing the services, matching the service providers to the customers. And what insurance does is, well, it really provides legitimacy. Like if you're a brand that is facilitating these things, you know, a little bit of this feels like my days at Uber, where it was built on like this driver-rider relationship, the supply and demand side. So we are looking for those. And I actually think, you know, while performance marketing, growth marketing is going to be a big, big part of us as our pie grows, its percentage of slice of the pie is probably going to change, and partnerships is going to be a huge thing. And I think you're seeing like these niche marketplaces all over the place. One of my favorite partners I talk to all the time is called PeerSpace. If you're a photographer and you need a photo studio, these guys are like the Airbnb of photo studios. You don't have one, or you're hired for a job in a different city, but that host of that space wants you to be insured. And it's a really interesting thing. And so we're looking at that, and sometimes it'll be as deep as like a partnership API experience integration, you know, and my type of marketing may turn a little bit into like an account-based sales BD type hat. Other times it's just, can we be in your newsletter, right? And how can we be, you have the right eyeballs, how can we be with them? And we all provide a good value and some alignment. So, you know, I think that's going to happen. And 5 years from now, I think the way FinTech is on people's lips a lot lately, I don't know if InsurTech will get to that level, but I think we'll be much closer to that and people will understand kind of insurance is a big part of how businesses, you know, operate and grow. And these are all going to be, you know, new ways to bring it in front of people.
No, that's great. And it's amazing to think about how the world is changing in the next few years. Obviously, it accelerated over the last year and a half or two. So things have changed a lot. It's interesting. I think of you, I realized in a way, as you were talking about some of your background in the jump area with bike share and then at Uber proper, that in a way, this is a marketplace model too, in that you, I assume, are not originating the insurance. It's a insurance company has owns the contract and is doing the insurance, and you're, I guess, a broker in this, right? So is that the relationship that Thimble has? And do you see that changing over time? Do you could see you expanding and creating more kinds of products that you can offer from different suppliers of different insurance products, or you can see you going up the stack and maybe owning some of it and becoming your own originator at times.
Yeah, we should chat weekly. I mean, this is a great analysis of where we are at the company. And, you know, I think it is what excites me, right, is seeing how we can keep disrupting. I mean, we launched a product that was very disruptive. And, you know, we need to keep that up. And we need to do that by having flexibility and wielding some power. And so you're absolutely right. We are what's known as an MGA. We're essentially the sales agent. What makes us different is this on-demand format, the monthly product. This is our filing. Like, we have put the IP into it and filed it. And then we have found what's probably called a real insurance company, but reinsurers to underwrite and take on the risk based on our, you know, hypotheses and assumptions. They are proving to be good, the ones that we have made. we only sell a certain type of insurance today, or a handful of types of insurance. Remember, I said business insurance is kind of an umbrella term over a lot of products. I mentioned cyber. We don't sell cyber insurance today, but our roadmap is selling more products, sometimes often through a reinsurer and a partnership. But it kind of goes back to that value of think wild, act tame, and how we describe it of like, learn the rules so well that you can break them and bend them. As we launch these new products, even with a partner, we are learning so much. Our data is telling us so much. Our marketing efforts are telling us so much. And as we get more capitalized as a company, going through different stages and series of funding, we can be in a position to make more decisions. I won't say how deep we're going to go down the vertical stack of insurance. There's the agent, the underwriter, the insurer, the claims. There's many different ways you can splice that. But obviously, we feel that experience for the end customer, like why we want to do this, is to provide the best experience. We know we provide a very good experience today, by the way. Like our NPS score is 78.
Wow.
And the insurance average is 17. So we are very proud of the experience we do, because people are most kind of impacted by the purchase decision and experience. But we definitely know that there's ways in which we can change pricing, change customer service, how your claims are managed and processed. All throughout, we will challenge our partners, come up with new ideas, because that's in our DNA and those are the types of people we hire. But obviously over time, I think you're spot on. We'll get there in, I don't know, I won't give it 5 years where the product is, but let's hope so.
Well, that's great. And it's been amazing to hear the arc of your career so far, Rickon, and it's amazing. I'm anxious to see what you do next with Thimble, because it's been incredible to hear about what you've been able to do from in your last several years here. I feel like now I've had this great view of the history of your life from your internships all the way through today. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing all that. Unfortunately, we're toward the end of our time here, and I think we have time for our last question that Kelsey will ask in just a second. But I did want to thank you for a great discussion and dialogue. And just quickly before we get into the last one, help people who are out there who may have a small business and insurance need, help them. How can they learn more about
this? Thanks for letting me plug. You can simply go to thimble.com or go to the app store, whether Apple or Google Play, and download the Thimble app, and you'll definitely learn a lot, hopefully.
Great. Over to you, Kelsey.
Rickon, this is our favorite question, and you're no better to ask. The SVP of marketing, your background's extremely diverse. You've, you know, done different parts of marketing. So what advice would you give to those that are CMOs or aspiring to be one someday?
You just got to be curious, right? And I hate the word disrupt. I think I've said it a couple of times, but I think disrupting yourself so that you can find and satiate that curiosity is really necessary. Because marketing is fundamentally changing as it leans D2C for everything, right? As everything goes e-commerce. In fact, the quarantine and COVID has accelerated things going e-commerce as well, and using, you know, our computers more, our phones more. So just keep searching. And then you won't be stuck in, is marketing brand or is marketing growth? Then you won't get that. I mean, you'll be a little bit lethal in all those things if you do keep going that way. So, you know, just stay curious and keep learning, keep making a lot of mistakes.
Stay curious, make mistakes, and disrupt. Yeah. I appreciate it. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Rickon. Make sure to follow The Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. We also just launched The Next CMO community, where you can join at thenextcmo@plana.com. Sorry, thenextcmo.com. And lastly, if you have any ideas for topics or guests, you can visit our website or email us at thenextcmo@plana.com. Thanks. Have a good one.
Thanks, Rickon.
Thank you, guys. Bye.